Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to get ready to go with me into a message entitled, I'm Saved to Be Saved. We're going to go to the Word of God and explain line upon line, precept upon precept, exactly what we're talking about. So let's go now into the Word of God that's already in progress. Thank you. God bless you.
In Romans chapter 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Somebody said, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. Man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Okay, for a thought this morning, I want to use these words, and then I'm going to read the scriptures again because we like to be accurate in scripture. I am saved to be saved. I am saved to be saved. Now, that may or may not make sense right now, but I'm going to try to walk through the scriptures and show you that's what the Bible teach. I know salvation is taught all types of ways in the body of Christ. Amen. I've been serving God for going on 36 years, and I don't know it all. I'm still learning. None of us know it all. I've heard a lot of things. I've heard a lot of teachings. But the truth of the matter is, if you study your Bible and let the Holy Spirit open up the eyes of your understanding, you'll realize that salvation, for the most part, is not taught correctly. And because of that, listen to me closely, because of that, millions of people are going to lose their souls in the end. Because people believe a lot of things. But when you die and you come before the judgment seat of Christ and you step up to the throne with all your beliefs in God, none of them going to hold water but what this book say. So we got to adjust ourselves accordingly, and we need to make sure that what we're believing is in line with this book. So we're going to talk about I'm saved to be saved. Now, I'm going to look at the scripture again, and let's look at it closely. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, the gospel is Jesus got up from the dead, and he got up and he eradicated sin, and anyone who believe him and accept him into your life, truly, not just believe him, but believe him and live for him, okay, that you can be saved. You can be saved, amen? And then it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now watch this. A lot of people believe in God. You know, a lot of people believe there is a God. But not many people are believing it's in their heart so much until the righteousness comes out in their daily life. See, if you say you believe in God, but there is no life of righteousness, then you, according to the book and according to God, you don't believe him. Because the old saying, and it's true, talk is cheap. And you can say what you want to say. You can talk about it in the man upstairs all you want. But in the end, many people are going to lose their souls because they haven't lived unto righteousness. Jesus died on that cross, went in that grave, and got up so that if you truly believe in him and accept him, confess him as your Lord and Savior, and establish him in your heart, that the same Christ that lived his life on the earth would now live in you, and your life would be different.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And if your life is not different, then you're not saved.
That's right.
You don't know him.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So March the 4th, 1980, one Tuesday night, I got sick and tired of living the life that I was living. Amen. I was tired of the world, tired of the flesh, tired of the devil. And until you get tired of sin and this life, God, he's a jealous God. You know, He may bless you with a house or a car, or give you a few blessings here and there, but he ain't going to come and live in your life and talk about he's your God and y'all friends until you really ready for it. And I was sick of the life that I was living. And in March the 4th, 1980, I had heard the gospel. I believed on him. I asked him to come into my life. In fact, I left that church that night crying out to God, God, save me. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of the devil. And Lord, save me. I believe in you. And it was like a bolt of lightning came out of heaven. He came into my heart and set me free. And from that day to this day, I've always loved them. And I didn't always maintain righteousness until I learned how. Once I learned how, then I start living for them every day. So I was saved March the 4th, 1980, that Tuesday night. But what I didn't know is I didn't understand salvation from the Bible's point of view. And that's what I want to kind of make clear here. And then we're going to walk in the scriptures just for a few minutes. I want you to go to Titus. Titus, and a lot of people don't understand it like this, but I'm going to teach it from the Bible's perspective. Amen. Titus 3 and verse 5. Okay. Titus 3 verse 5. Watch this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It was nothing I had done right March the 4th. I had done everything wrong. But all of a sudden, I got sick of my wrong living and my wrongdoing, and I start calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came in my life and saved me. And it wasn't by any works of righteousness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It was no good works I did. It was nothing. I wasn't living right, and God still loved me while I was a sinner and came in based on my confession. Now, the church teach that since you didn't do nothing to get it, you don't have to do nothing to keep it. But now, that's a stretching of grace there. And I don't have time to deal with that, but we'll talk about that at a later date. But that's a lie, Bible, but in people's minds. And they take the Bible and twist it. So let me leave that alone because y'all know I go off on that one. But the Bible says that it wasn't by works of righteousness which I've done, okay? For by grace he saved me. But that same verse, Ephesians 2, verse 8, all the way down to verse 10, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he said, we are his workmanship, okay? Created unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I didn't work to get it, but if I really got it, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go to work proving that God is in my life. I ain't going to live the same life. And if you live in the same life, you didn't get the life. Glory to God. Help me, Holy Ghost, because I want to navigate through this because I got 100 thoughts flowing through my mind. But my point is that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Now he's getting ready to tell us in the same scripture how he saved us. Watch this. By his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. This scripture tells me there was a washing, that was a regeneration, and that was a renewing. Amen. That's how he saved me. March the 4th, 1980, that Tuesday night. Amen. I was saved. Okay? But now, here's what folks don't understand. I like to do this because we learn, by things we see also. I use these three bottles all the time. Okay? Now, God made all human beings. Let's say it. This is a spirit. Spirit, soul, body. We're a three-part being. That can be proven all over the Bible. I got a lot of teaching on that. God took the three and made them one. Your spirit, soul, and body. Everybody know when people die, when you look in the casket, the person don't quite look the same, but that's the body he was living in, right? Okay, everybody know that. What's the difference in that body laying there? Something done left out of that body. That body just laying there. So the body is really not the person. That's what the person was living in, right? What moved out is the soul and the spirit. Okay, when you study your Bible in Proverbs 20, verse 27, and I'm going somewhere with this, so please watch or pay attention. When you study your Bible, Proverbs 20, verse 27, the Bible said the spirit, with spirit, soul, and body, right? The Bible said the spirit of man, because man is a soul, believe it or not.
That's right.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. This is God's candle. This is the thing that talks to you when you're wrong. Even when I was lost, I was drinking too much, and something would tell me, you're drinking too much. You're driving too fast. That's why God put this in man.
Right.
The church teach that this is the man. That's a lie. And this may not be important to you, but this teaching have created so many false doctrines in the church until it's unreal. And it's got a false sense of salvation
right.
in the church. And until people understand this operation, you're in trouble.
Right.
Okay? With spirit, soul, and body. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 7, he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Amen.
Okay? All over the Bible, God said man is a soul. He live in a body. He's got a spirit inside that soul that keeps it right, tells him when he's right and when he's wrong. But this belonged to God. Okay? Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Can I move on?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we're going to go back to the scripture. This is how he saved me. March the 4th, 1982, that Tuesday night, Titus 3:5 said, when he came into my life, there was a regeneration. According to the scripture, we know the only thing that was regenerated was the man's spirit. Regeneration means birth. The only thing that's born again is your spirit. Your spirit is born again. Your spirit is made perfect. Your spirit... just like God, the Holy Ghost lives in your spirit. But the spirit is the candle of who?
The Lord.
Don't miss that. If you miss that, you're going to miss salvation and how it worked.
All right.
Okay, so God came to live in what was already his.
That's right.
Living in you. But he said, you're a soul. So in this verse right here, he says he regenerated something, the spirit. It was born again. In this verse right here, he said he washed and renewed something. Do you know what that was that he washed and renewed? It was your soul and your body.
Amen.
And that's two. I got hundreds of the scriptures I can take you through. I just don't have time this morning. So the body, the day you got saved, born again, your body and your soul was sanctified and washed by the power of God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now your soul was not born again that day. Your soul was just sanctified. Your soul that day, God cleaned it up, took all the sin out of it, and took it and placed it in the spirit.
Wow.
Romans 8, 9. Romans 8, verse 9 says that if any man have not the spirit of God, he is none of his. Okay, if you don't have the Holy Ghost living in you, you don't belong to God. Now, if you have the Holy Ghost living in you, the Holy Ghost is living in your spirit. Okay? And that day you got saved, he took your soul, which is still natural, cleaned it up, and placed it in the spirit. That's why when you sin, God ain't in that sin with you. He's still inside of you, but that soul now vacillates and get right back in the flesh, what the Bible called the flesh. And that soul can still sin. Your soul can still go back and do wrong. You know why I know that? Because I did a lot of wrong after I got saved.
Watch out,
now, it wasn't God's plan for me to sin. But because I was ignorant and because nobody taught me this, I sinned and then made up doctrines. Well, there was already doctrines in the church that helped me think I'm still all right in my sin. Because I'm saved. I got saved March the 4th. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. The devil is a liar, and the word don't agree with that. If you choose to go back and live the same way you was living, that new birth experience will not mean anything to you in the end. Because first of all, you said, well, I'm born again. That was God's candle in you born again. Your soul was just sanctified that day, preserved to be saved. So I'm saved to be saved. So now let me give you some scripture on that now, because we're going to go to the Bible. Because it's not being taught right. I'm telling you, because the true salvation is not taught right, people live wrong and think they're going to heaven. No, you're not if you're in sin. Okay. You've been saved and sanctified. Your soul been placed in the Spirit. Now God said walk in the Spirit. Now, if you walk in the Spirit, conduct your life in the Spirit, live your life in holiness and sanctification, at the end, God going to do something else for you. That's why he said, to him that endure to the end. Okay, let's look at some scripture. I believe we have people here that love Jesus Christ every day, want to serve him every day. Because if you're just a certain day Christian, you're not a Christian, according to the Bible. 1 Peter 1:9. March 4th, 1980, I was saved. But what I didn't know is I was saved to be saved. My soul have not gotten it all yet. But he said, now if you stay right where I place you, now that I've saved your spirit and sanctified your soul and your body, when you get to the end and stop breathing, I'm going to finish up salvation. Salvation is a life. Salvation is a walk. And a lot of people start out believing God and go back and do the same things and think when they die they're going to heaven. That ain't what the Bible teach. And I don't care how many religions tell you different. Let's go to the scriptures. And let the scriptures define it. Let me tell you something. When you give your life to Jesus, you're truly saved. But you got to stay walking with Jesus. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. The Bible said many of them went back and walked no more with them. Do you think those people made it to heaven? No. Those folks did not make it to heaven. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Once you give your life to God and you born again, it is God's program inside of salvation for you to now walk the rest of your life with Jesus. And then when you stop breathing, then you go to heaven. It's a wrong perception in the church about salvation, and I'm not going to bow to it. That's right. And if you never hear this teaching again, you hear it today, and you're responsible. Because I'm telling you, it's not being taught in the church, and they're not making it plain. And Jesus said millions of folks are going to go to hell. Jesus said that. I didn't. I'm just saying what he said. He prophesied and said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few going to find it. Jesus said that. And he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And he said, many are going to go into destruction. Now, are you in the many or the few? Amen. You got to make a decision. Am I going to be in the many or the few? That choice is in the hand of every human being. Amen. If you live in your life the way you live your life and not living by this book, go on and accept the fact that I'm going to hell. Say, Apostle, why you talk about hell so much? Because the last several decades, all people have been talking about is heaven, how good God is. Come on now, they talk about how good he is, how merciful he is. And all of that's true, but folks done got so spoiled and they know his love, they know his mercy. So maybe I ought to tell you about hell if you don't live what the book say. Oh, let me be calm in here on this Resurrection Sunday. So maybe we need to tell folks about hell because you done talk to them about heaven and all of them want to go, but ain't nobody living nothing. So let me just tell you, you ain't going if you ain't living. Now, I didn't write the Bible. I preach it. And I don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing from it. Okay, let's look at some scripture now. We ain't trying to make members. We're making disciples. But I'm going to try to be merciful. All right, let's look at some scripture. 1 Peter 1:9. Why is this in the Bible? Okay, if you can't explain this, then we need to go back and let God help us. I'm saved to be saved. I didn't know that March the 4th. Nobody ever told me that. The Holy Ghost had to teach me that. And when he taught me that, I stopped living wrong. I said, let me straighten my act up. Because God, I want to make it in. Bible said, who going to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who going to walk in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted his soul up to vanity. You cannot be found in sin when Jesus comes if you want to go to heaven. Cannot. And our job here is to teach you how to live a righteous life. And it's easy. So, folks, some people tell you, you ought to live right, but they don't teach you how to live right. Well, we teach you how to live right. Okay, 1 Peter 1:9. Watch this. Receiving the end of your faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Okay, he authored it. He started it out. Okay, March the 4th, he put me in the faith. Receiving the end of your faith. Wait a minute, the end. Nobody told me about the end. They just told me, get saved. Glory to God, be saved. I was saved. Okay, but he said, now receiving the end of your faith, then he tell you what it is, even the salvation of your soul. What? My soul not complete yet? That's what that Bible say. That Bible said he sanctified you the day you got saved, your soul that is, and place it in the spirit. Now stay there till the end, and I'll give you the rest of salvation. That's what that Bible say. But how many folks in the church understand it like that? Not very many. And because they don't understand it like that, they just live any kind of way. If you live any kind of way, I don't care if you've been born again 20 times. When you get to the end, Bible say you sealed until the day of redemption. It never say you sealed throughout all eternity. I can seal a letter up. That letter stays sealed, and when it get on the other end, I take the seal off. When you get to the end, God going to take the seal off. And when he take the seal off, if you ain't lived right in your life, you ain't going in the kingdom. And if more Christians knew this, they'd be Christians. I'm going to live right. You know why? Because when I stop breathing, I want to die right. I want to go in. Okay. So that's one scripture. Go to the next one, Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What? I thought I was saved. No, I am. I got saved March the 4th, but I got saved to be saved. God saved me March the 4th. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. You know what he was talking about? The day you got saved, you was blameless. He took the sin out your life. He cleaned you up. He sanctified you. You was righteous. No sin in your life. And he said, now be like that all the way until Jesus come. How many Christians you think done stayed like that? And until we preach to the church and tell the church, wait, church, we better repent. We better get our heart cleaned up. We better get the sin out of our life and come right back to the old landmark. Because if you die at the end and you ain't there, you in trouble. Let's tell the folks the truth. If they don't come back, then, hey, we ain't trying to build nothing anyway. Glory to God. Unto him that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. God purposely didn't finish everything in your soul the day you got saved. Purposely. Because he knew a lot of folks. If he'd have gave you everything then, he knew a lot of folks would go back and do the same thing. Say, I'm going to heaven, glory to God. No, you're not. God too smart for that. He said, I saved you the day you called on me. But if you want me to finish and give you the rest of it, you better endure till the end. Oh, let's look at some more scripture. Come on now. You can talk all they want. You're going to have to argue with the Bible.
Right.
Come on. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Look at it closely. I read these for years and didn't understand what it meant. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Amen. March the 4th, he put me in the faith. He gave me faith. I was saved March the 4th. Now the just shall live by faith. You live by the faith. You live by the word now. Okay, so I got saved March the 4th, but then I live Curtis Lewis and expect at the end God going to honor that? No, no, no. You got to live by faith. Watch this. But if any man draw back, you draw back now. Okay, if any man draw back, my soul, God said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I won't have no pleasure in you whatsoever.
Praise the Lord. We're going to have to cut into the broadcast. We're just about out of time. If you want more free teaching, I want to refer you to our webpage. It's www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. If you'd like to write us, you can write us at Someone Cares Ministry, Post Office Box 64598. That's Someone Cares Ministry, Post Office Box 64598, Baton Rouge, Louisiana 7-0-8-9-6. If you'd like to call us, you can call us at 225-272-6647. That's 225-272-6647. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis, and we love you. We thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.